down her leg from her hip joint. So she was there from Saturday afternoon till Tuesday. They did surgery, and she finally got to Encompass Rehab Facility Tuesday afternoon of this week, and during the power failure sort of delayed that getting over there. But she's taking some therapy now and hopes she'll stay a little bit longer. She's adamant about coming home, but appreciate your prayers. And she's not supposed to put any weight on that foot or leg for about 6 weeks or so. But I had some thoughts I shared with the men's prayer meeting in the morning. Pastor asked me if I'd share those with you today. But, you know, when preacher preaches, he always has some kind of little story or funny that he tells you. Well, I don't know where he comes with all those things. But I don't really have anything other than I've got a poem that I wanted to dedicate to Danny and Shirley over here. Y'all ready for this? Okay. And it says, if you kiss your honey bunny and her nose is cold and runny, don't you think it's love? It's not. They'll catch that one here in a little bit. Okay. Okay. I don't know if preacher got that or not, but I'll find out if he does behind closed doors probably. But several years ago, many years ago, as you know, Preacher Lasley has always encouraged everybody to read the Bible through each year. And I started coming here around 1977, 78 or so, and of course read the Bible some and all, but I'd never tried to do that. So anyway, I've tried to do that for 45 years now, thereabouts. And that's one of the best things that preacher's ever done for me, is encourage me to read the Word of God. And I know for years and years, many of y'all have done that. But I just wanted to share a few things with you over the years that the Lord has helped me through the Bible. And what I've learned is, if you read the Bible, the Lord speaks to you out of His Word. Not all the time, but if you'll ask, then He can show you some things. And I'll get to that here in a little bit, because during the last several days, it's been sort of a trying situation. I don't know if you folks have burdens or not like I do, but it seems like I have burdens all the time. But I know who can help through those burdens. And anyway, I prayed and asked the Lord to give me something out of the Bible. And I'm just going to share a few things with you, with you there. But, you know, over in Philippians, where it talks about Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be careful for nothing, but by everything, prayer, supplication, let your request be known to God. And I've known that. I've quoted that for years and years, but it just seemed like I wasn't getting anything out of it, you know. I don't know why that is, but those verses, sometimes they don't speak to you, sometimes they do. But I wanted to share a few things with you. One of them was, let's go back to 2001. My daughter in Arkansas, Tracy, was expecting a little boy, and she had gone to the doctor, and they thought that the baby had some issues. I don't remember what all those issues were, but it sounded serious. So she was all tore up, and my wife and I were concerned about that as well. And she was going to have to go to Little Rock, to a facility down there. They have a children's hospital in Little Rock. So I was laying there in bed one night, reading the Bible, and been praying, asked the Lord to give me something, you know. And don't know if you have your Bible handy or not, but I've got it here. I'll share this verse with you. It's Psalms 113, verse 9. It says, He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. once I read that, I just felt like the Lord told me, you need to quit worrying about this stuff. Gonna be all right. Well, that little boy was born on June 8, 2001. His name is Zachary Shaw Dewar. And far as I know, he hadn't got a health problem one. Never has had one. So the Lord showed us out of that verse, I believe, that he's gonna be all right. And he was. Okay. Got an excuse me. Sometimes it seems like it's hard to get through that because the Lord just sort of works on that heart a little bit, doesn't it? Back in 2008, after I'd retired from Eastman, I was doing some consulting work, and I was working at a BP refinery up in Whiting, Indiana. And they make lots of gasoline up there. They process, I think, 435,000 barrels of crude oil a day. So it's a big old refinery. And they had a big compressor fire up there, cost them millions of dollars. And I went up there to do an incident investigation on that. And once I got through with that, I was working on another project and having to do a hazardous analysis, they call on their processes. And this is where you get a bunch of people in the room and you get all these drawings of their process. They'll have like 125, 150 of these drawings, and you have to go through every pipe on the drawing, every vessel on the drawing, and look for hazards. And I got over to a point, I was having a difficult team to work with to start with, and I got sort of stumped on what to do next, and it was just sort of working on me. So I prayed the Lord, I need some help on this. So the Lord brought me over to James, chapter 1, verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And I said, Lord, I really need some wisdom here on this. So I prayed and asked the Lord to give me that wisdom to help me with that situation. And I went to sleep. About 2 o'clock in the morning, I woke up just wide awake. And I knew exactly what to do the next day. And the Lord answered that prayer and helped me through that. And so the Lord honors his word, doesn't he? You need to ask. You need to be in the book. You need to ask him. You need to keep asking. Another verse that's special to me over the years through different issues and problems. I guess y'all know that my wife's had a lot of health issues. She's had 2 back surgeries and 2 hips replaced and 2 shoulders replaced, and now she's got the leg to deal with. But this, my daughter out in Arkansas was going through some special trials, and the Lord had given me this verse years ago. One of my favorite verses, by the way. Psalm 55:22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So when my daughter's going through these trials and whatever, I wrote that out for her on a piece of paper. And I said, this will help you right here. Well, we went out there for Thanksgiving, the first trip my wife had been on in over a year. She still got that on her refrigerator. She hadn't forgot that verse. She's hanging on to that thing, preacher. But that's a blessing. That's a real special verse there. So let me turn to Proverbs right quick. I'm going to give you a couple of verses here as well. Now, I have heard this. I've read it for years. Most times just read right over it. But, this used to be a memory verse for people for years, years, years. But it, like I said, it seemed like this Philippians 4, 6, and 7 wasn't getting the job done for me, preacher. So I said, Lord, I really need something to hang on to. And It took about 3 or 4 days. And the Lord showed me this. I was reading. I had gone through my whole Bible last year and got through it early, and I'd already gotten over into Proverbs. So here I am. I'm reading this stuff, looking for, asking the Lord to give me something. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." As you can imagine, I need some direction. I've needed some direction here for a week and a half or so, and we'll continue to need some direction. But trust in the Lord. He knows what's going on. I sure don't, but we need to trust in him, don't we? Sure do. But just a couple other quick things. Preacher, if I got time to share this. I got ready to come to prayer meeting and yesterday morning, and got in the vehicle, backed out of the garage, and turned the radio on. There was a song playing. The name of the song was "It's Jesus." You ever heard that? If I've heard it before, I didn't remember it. But here I got all these thoughts on my mind, and it says, "It's Jesus." Well, what it reminded me of was I had just read the night before Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22. If this won't bless you, as the preacher said, bless your gizzard, I don't know what will. Okay? But you know, you hear preaching on the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and the Trinity and stuff like that. But I want you to listen to this and see who you think this is talking about. "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there." Who do you think he's talking about? God wasn't there by himself, was he? Who's he talking about? Amen? Now that's a blessing to me. And if somebody wants to argue about the Trinity, they don't have a whole lot of places to go, do they, preacher? Well, anyway, I appreciate this old book. Appreciate Brother Lassley, too, for saying we need to be in it. Amen, preacher.
Well, amen. Thank you, Brother Joe. I wanted to share that because they've got no
issue. All right. Yeah.
I wanted to share that because or not this Sunday school hour, but I'm going to preach about those Bereans. You know, the Bereans, the Bible says that they searched the scriptures daily, and they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And just, I felt very, very burdened and impressed with the Lord to hit it here the second Sunday of the year, but the second Sunday to hit it about the Word of God, because we need to be in the Word of God. I've said I don't care what plan a person uses, and really I invited people to go through a whole Bible with me this year, but even if everybody's reading level is different and all that, I never try to make people feel bad if their reading is so, you know, at a slower pace. That's not the important thing. I mean, I think it's a good thing for Christians to get in the Word of God and read it all the way through, but the more important thing is that you let it get in you on a daily basis, regular basis. And then when you do mess up and you get off track a day or two because of sickness or because of travel or whatever it is, then get right back into it. And so I trust that was a blessing what Brother Joe shared with you. And I want to preach about it here in just a little bit on the main service about the Bereans. Well, if you got an outline, and if you didn't, I've got a few more up here. Did somebody not get one? Anybody need one? They're free right now. We're going to sell them after the service because I'm hoping that people put them on eBay and they'll be worth lots of money one of these days. So keep your original copy. But I believe there's a problem that all of us face in this room. And that is because there's a lot of Christians who don't do it, and then we live around a lot of unsaved people. And if we're not careful, we get to live our lives in such a way that we're not much different than our unsaved neighbors. You say, preacher, that's not true. I'm going to heaven. They're not. I've got Jesus, my Savior, and they don't. Yes, I understand that. But I'm talking about more than just the promise of heaven. I'm talking about our daily way in which we live. Not only did Jesus save you so that you get a fire escape from hell, I believe that some pulling them out of the fear, out of the fire, the Bible talks about they have compassion, pulling them out of the fire. I believe that a lot of people have gotten saved just because they didn't want to go to a devil's hell. I believe that some people have gotten saved because they realized how much Jesus loved them and they just couldn't stand that much love but what they accepted Christ as their Savior. Other people, they got loved in one form or fashion. Now they all got saved the same way, but some different rationale to get up to that point. But that's not my lesson today. My lesson is how we live now between the time we got saved and the time God takes us to heaven. Are we living much different than an unsaved person? If we are living according to the Bible, we are, because we're supposed to be living and walking by faith. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, if you want to just settle in there and get your Bible open to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and then we're going to go to a different passage on each one and just talk about the way that we're supposed to be living. And I'm not going to have a quiz at the end to say, hey, are you living that way? But I'd like for you to quiz yourself. Am I living in faith the way God says in His Word that I'm supposed to? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7, the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. But let me get there and we'll read the whole verse to you. Sorry about that. You get like many of us, we get so many things in different pages, it's hard to get to the pages that we want. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible says in verse number 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And it goes on in the passage. It's a wonderful passage we oftentimes share at a time of a funeral, which I'll announce that again in the next hour. But in tomorrow night from 5 to 6, they'll have the visitation for Johnny Saylor and then have a service, a memorial service right here in the auditorium tomorrow at 6. And then, of course, I think it was already mentioned, I was passed some things out, didn't hear everything, but do be praying for Joyce Alcorn. Brother Steve Alcorn went to heaven just a little bit ago, a few hours ago this morning, and so I talked to Joyce, and we've been praying together, so please pray for her and the family. In this passage, when we are talking about this tabernacle, we groan and we're going to want to be clothed upon from that which was of heaven. In the midst of that, when we walk by, we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. In the midst of that, verse 7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. So I know that you're already saved by faith. The Bible says, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. So we've got that settled, most everybody, if not everybody, in our midst this morning. But am I walking by that faith? So let's look into it. Look, if you will, you're in 2 Corinthians. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse number 7. We're going to see that the just, the Bible says, are supposed to live by faith, not just be saved by faith, not just have a fire escape from hell, which I'm certainly thankful for that. That's not a negative way to say that. I'm thankful that God saved me from the hell that I deserve, but I'm supposed to do more than just be saved. I'm supposed now to live by that faith. The Bible says that this is the way that I am supposed to live. And so I have to be honest with you, many times us Christians, we don't live by faith like we're supposed to be, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, and is written, the just shall live by faith, which is an Old Testament reference from Habakkuk, I believe it is. And so we see, though, we're supposed to live by faith, but here's the problem. Our world that we live in, you live in the same world that an unsaved person lives in. You don't get the saved track. You know, sometime when you go to a seminar, you'll go to a training for your company or whatnot, or in my line of work, I'll go to a Bible conference, and they'll have different tracks, breakout sessions, whatever they call them. Well, do you want to go to this one? Do you want to go to this one? Do you want to go to this? Is this in your area of expertise, or is this where you need working, or do you need certification over here? Well, we don't get different tracks in life. We don't get to say, oh, no, sorry, I'm on the Christian track. Let me get over here. We're living the same world that the unsaved people do. We hopefully live a lot different, but we're living the same world. And so here's the problem with our world. It's dominated by sight. You say, how do you know it's dominated by sight? How many commercials have you seen in your life? Well, you couldn't count them all. You might not even have a television in your home, but you've seen enough commercials going through the stores, going through the airports, going through, and you've seen commercials for all kinds of stuff. And the reason those are so effective is because our world is dominated by sight. Why do you think that those new car lots, they put those new cars right down by the road and they put the clunkers out back? Well, they want to show that shiny, bright, and clean, and nice, and neat, and they want you to be. And this may a little bit be dominated by sight, or by not only sight, but by smell. You open up that car door, if you want to drive that old clunker with 185,000 miles, you got to do that by faith. Our world is dominated by sight. You know what? There's a reason for that. We're dominated by sight because, remember, if you've got an unsaved neighbor, unsaved friend or family member, if they don't get saved, which our prayer is that they would before they leave this world, if they don't get saved, this world is all that they have. This is as close to heaven as an unsaved person will ever get. So you know that the world, the flesh, and the devil is doing all that's possible to max out everything out of this world. I don't have the statistics with me today, but it's alarming and unnerving how many hundreds of hours of pornographic material are produced in our world right now, every year, because our world is turned by sight. And so the Bible says, and maybe we're not even talking about people who are turned on by the immoral, ungodly stuff of pornography, but even in our daily life, we live by sight. If we look at our reports on some retirement account that you may have, you want to see what it's done. In the last 18 months, you see that it probably hadn't done very good. The four or five years before that, maybe better, whatever. But you want to see the bottom line. You know why? It's hard for us to live by faith. Because the Bible teaches we're supposed to, but the world often, most time, lives by sight. And so I put this statement on there that faith to your soul, though, is like the senses to the body, because our body, we look, we hear, we see. That's why it's such a tragedy when somebody loses their sight if they've been used to it, because they live by that. They function by that, and then they have to now dwell on the other senses. But I believe this statement is true, that faith is to our soul what our senses are to our body. Faith is supposed to be that way that we see what's not really there. And I'm not talking about pipe dreams, like, well, I just wish it would be so, and so it's going to be so. I don't mean that. I mean that we trust the Lord. We walk by faith and not by sight. So we live, the just shall live by faith. But we go on, number two, and we see not only live, but then, as we already mentioned, we walk by faith as well. I want you to look at Romans chapter 4. You're in Romans chapter somewhere, but look at Romans chapter 4, verse number 12. This is going back to the life of Abraham. It's written to these Roman Christians. We see, in the father of circumcision, to them who are not of the circumcision only, talking about those, the father of circumcision, which would have been Abraham, not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. We'll get a little bit more into his life here in just a little bit further down the lesson. But we're supposed to walk by faith, and we're supposed to walk in the steps of those people who walk before us. Now, please don't ever buy into this to the thing of, well, I don't look at man. I don't look at man, because we're supposed to look at God only. And that's true. We're supposed to follow Christ. But the Apostle Paul told a group of believers and disciples that they could follow him as he followed Christ. I have lots of heroes in the faith that I've watched their life, and I watch their fervency, and I watch their consistency, and I watch how faithful they are. And it encourages me that if they can do it, I can do it. So please don't think that we're the lone ranger out here. We're the one guy or girl that's all out there by themselves and don't have anybody to look up to. As Brother Joe mentioned, preacher, lastly, God has given this church a wonderful treasure because of a faithful man that's led for 46 years and then has been a great leader even since then in the role of pastor emeritus. Don't ever think that, well, I'm the lone ranger, I can't watch other people. We better watch other people, because we watch them and we see what God's done for them He can do for me. And so that's what this passage is talking about. We're walking in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, but we're supposed to walk by faith. In Genesis chapter 12, that's when God told Abraham, I want you to leave the family and the friends and the area that you know. I want you to leave Ur of the Chaldees and go. And I love to preach about that story. And that story is that it seems like Abraham says, where do you want me to go? God says, I don't tell you yet. I would be asking, how do I know where I'm going? God says, I'm not going to tell you yet. Well, how am I going to know when I get there? I'll tell you when you get there. Well, how do I know which turn to take? If I'm going to go out here on Suncrest Street, you want me to go right or left? God says, I'll tell you when you get to the stop sign. Now, it wasn't like that, but that's in essence the way it was. And so we see that God gives the faithful people before us. We walk in the faith of the father, Abraham. And of course, we walk in this way. We walk trusting the Lord past our heroes, but our heroes can also help us out as well. But I want you to bring this one last part to us. You may be thinking that that would be a good idea to walk in faith. That would be a wise thing to do. But I'm going to tell you further than that. That's the only thing to do if you and I want to please God. Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, but without faith. It's not that it's hard. It's not difficult to please God. It's not a rather arduous thing to do. It's impossible. So the Lord says, I could be the best pastor as far as what people acclaimed. I could be the best Sunday school teacher as far as what people say, wow, boy, he's got the gift of gab. He can really tell a story. I could be the best bus captain. Wow, he put more on that bus than anybody's had in 20 years. I could be the best usher, rest greeter, whatever it is. And people could say, wow, none above John. But if I don't have faith, people might be pleased, but God is not. It's impossible to please God without faith. And so we're supposed to walk by faith. Not only supposed to live by faith, walk by faith, but look, if you will, in Matthew chapter 21. I want to help our prayer lives because the Bible tells us how we're supposed to pray in faith as well. And here is where we have trouble. Verse number 22, Matthew 21. And all things... Jesus is cursing the fig tree because it didn't produce fruit. And in verse number 22, it says in verse number 21, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, it shall be done. In verse 22, and all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing. I put the two words underneath that point, if you're following through, believing and expecting. Because if I'm not believing and expecting God to do things, and I'm not praying in faith. You see, I'm not throwing wishes up to say, well, God, any of them you like, I pray, I hope you'll do them. Now, it brings us into an interesting category because we know that all the prayers that we pray don't get answered. Not the way we wanted them to, at least. We were praying for different things for this very week. For things to happen, and they happen opposite of the way I asked. But the Bible says I'm supposed to pray in faith, expecting, believing the Lord to do something. I often pray like this when I'm praying, say, I say these words almost verbatim. Lord, I know you can. But I'm not asking you to say you can. I'm praying in the mindset of you will. Now, how many of you have prayed prayers and they didn't get answered the way you wanted them? I know I could ask the same question, and most of us have come to places where we realize the way that it got answered, opposite of what I was asking, was the best way to get answered. And that's when we pray according to thy will. You know, Jesus' his prayer was, Lord, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And the answer of the Father was no. Not as I will, but thine be done. And so we have that example that we pray in faith, but we understand that we pray believing, expecting, but understand it's always according to the will of God. Well, I want you to look at one other passage in Ephesians chapter 6. This is where they're putting on the armor of God. We put all of it on by faith. the helmet of salvation, the shoes shod with the gospel of preparation of peace. But we're going to also see that we resist evil by faith, because we resist the fiery darts of the devil. And those fiery darts of the devil that are thrown by him or shot by him are protected with the shield of faith. So we're supposed to resist evil by faith. The Bible says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So not only do we pray, walk, and live, but we resist evil by faith. How in the world could we get away from the problems that are being hurled at us? Remember, the Bible says we don't fight against flesh and blood, right? So we know the fight is spiritual. Now, nobody came into any of our houses, I pray they didn't, and broke in to steal things. But there was a lot of thievery going on this week. It wasn't of our valuables. It was of our peace. It was of our joy. It was our happiness, our contentment. So the enemy, the thief, was alive and well today, this week, I should say. But it just isn't that no money's missing from your mattress, in between your mattresses. They didn't come in there and steal all your $100 bills. They didn't come in there and steal all your jewelry or anything. Instead, the thief came to, we know it came to steal and destroy, but the thief came spiritually, wrong spiritually, but in the spiritual realm. We fight not, wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness and evil in high places. So we know that the battle is spiritual. So if I'm going to win the battle, I'm going to have some success in the battle, then I must fight the battle spiritually as well. So that means I'm going to have to fight it in faith. And the way I fight it is taking the shield of faith, that I can quench the fiery darts of the devil. And as the shield quenches those fiery darts of the devil, then where I'm supposed to put that shield up there by faith. Because I didn't see it at my house anywhere. Remember, I told you the world, we live by sight most of the time. But you could have looked all over my house this morning, unless you look at the Word of God, you would not see a physical shield. There's no shields that I have to say, okay, I'm taking this out ready for the battle today. But you and I are in a battle. And I tried to pray up today. I tried to pray up this week, just like you all have, to say, Lord, help us. We take this shield, and that shield of faith is in essence us trusting the Lord to do what only He can, because I can't see the enemy coming. And so since I've got a wrong spiritual enemy, then I need a right spiritual protection. My father-in-law used to put, if he'd get a cut on his finger or his hand or anything, if it's really bad, he's sewn his own up sometimes, but if you just get a regular cut, he'd put some kind of liquid Band-Aid where you squirt it down in there, and it's not a Band-Aid you put on there. It just goes in there and kind of dries, and then it's supposed to let that heal. Maybe you all use that same material or same substance. But what's that Invisiband, whatever it's called, what's that supposed to be doing? What that's doing is fighting off germs. It's keeping out dirt so that the body can do what it naturally does, that God made us this way. We've all been the recipients of divine healing. You've all cut yourself. I burned myself on my hand, and it's about all but healed up, so God divinely healed me. Well, He'd put that stuff in a cut to keep the bad stuff out so it didn't get in where it didn't belong. That's what God tells us to do with the shield of faith. Put that on. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put all of it on, but that shield of faith specifically, because those fiery darts of the devil are coming whether I've got the shield or not. The only difference is, am I prepared against those fiery darts? Remember, we can't see them. It's not an enemy that's trying to get over the bulwarks. But it's an enemy nonetheless. And so we're supposed to resist evil by faith. And then lastly, we're supposed to die when it comes our time. Hebrews chapter 11, we're supposed to die in faith. Now, you know that Hebrews chapter 11 is that great hall of fame of faith, those heroes that have walked for the Lord, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and the parents of Moses and Joshua, Rahab the harlot, and all of those that were used of God. Let me read this to you in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. These all died. Now, but with the exception of the rapture of the church, somebody's going to say that same verse about all of us in here too. These all died. Point unto man wants to die. After this, the judgment. These all died in faith. But look at what else it says. Not only do we have to die in faith, but we understand that this is the way they were living even before they died. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And were persuaded of them. They were convinced of the reality of their promises. That's your third blank there, or the third point underneath there. They were convinced, persuaded of the reality of these promises. That means they had faith before they died, not when they died and on their way up. They'd already had it. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So there's a little secret at the end of that verse that tells us who's supposed to live in faith. Those that are pilgrims and strangers. Don't expect the world to live in faith. We just came through Christmas season and people say, hope, believe, just have faith. Well, there's many people who don't even know the Lord. They don't have that relationship. But you and I that do, we're supposed to have that relationship, be persuaded, convinced. But then those of us that are strangers and pilgrims on this earth, may we certainly walk in faith. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank you for these moments that we've had. And may us, this group of Christians, believers in here, may we this week walk in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. We'll get started here in about 15 minutes.